ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Inbound to Vucevic. To DeRozan. Double. Vucevic. Three in the lead. Shot. DeRozan to tie it. And the Celtics come back in the fourth to take the lead, and they hold on for the win.
No basket for you. Vooch. Oh, yeah, that was it was an exciting finish. I mean, a better watch than the two previous games, but Bulls came up short, 114-112. Alex Caruso will not return until at least Wednesday, so at least we have that in our near future.
And Lonzo Ball's his groin injury is still, I don't know, day-to-day, but, you know, obviously they missed him in a big way.
Yep.
Nicholas Jakubko, I hope I'm saying that, Jakubko reached us on Twitter saying, make no moves, 9-3 in the last 12 or so. Things are great. Get healthy. Play the next month out. We'll still be a hard out in the playoffs and let the front office continue to impress in the draft. And I probably think that's more the most likely course, that they'll be
conservative
as they get closer to February.
It's 10th. Just so tough to hear that the projections are 500 the rest of the way. That's crazy.
And that, you know, not can't even give them a sniff, a 2% chance to get to the NBA finals, which I know it's a big mountain to climb. But,
right. But 2%?
Yeah.
Really?
That's milk.
312-332-3776. Brandon in Forest Park wants to jump in and talk about the Bulls. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Look, let me just say this. Let's just hold off for a second. I felt like last night, and forget the numbers, I thought it was Io's and Vooch's best game, and I'm going to tell you why. I've been critical of both of them, especially Io. I'm going to tell you why. Offensively, I saw a guy who, in the Big Ten, went head-to-head with Garza for a scoring champion. On this team, he's been very timid. I'm a kid. No, he was scared. He's scared to score. He's scared to shoot. He would sit in that corner and pass up a three. He'll pump fake and then pass the ball again. Mm-hmm. Last night was the first time I saw him bring the ball up the court like a point guard, and he looked and got his own shot. Vooch finally went in the post and asked for the ball. So, honestly, the Zach LaVine injury to me, I'm looking at it in a positive way. It forced them to be aggressive. It forced them to get their confidence and bowl it up. Vooch will pick, but he won't roll. Again, he'll pick, but he won't roll. He was still standing there by LaVine, and the double is still there. He finally went in the post and asked for the ball last night. So I'm looking at that. I got one trade in mind that I think they possibly can get it is Marvin Bagley III in Sacramento. He wants out. He doesn't have a contract yet, and we can give them this year's pick if we can pull that off. If I can't get somebody like Marvin Bagley III, I'll just sit back and I'll let Green come back healthy, Jones come back healthy, and I'll just wait on Patrick Williams next year, because this is how we have to face the facts. The fact is this. We can't beat Miami without Adebayo. We can't beat Philly with Embiid. Anyone with a center killing us. Killing us, because Vooch defensively can't have that. We need Patrick Williams. We'll wait on him. And then we'll just go on the free agent pool, man, and spend some more money. We're not maxed out to the cap like that. And then think about it. Vooch's contract is very friendly. $20 million a year, he's about to be done with. We don't have to re-sign him. So the future is great. But last night, trust me, guys, Zach being out, Billy Donovan, he put pressure on Io and Vucevic to step up offensively. Trust me, Io was bringing the ball up, and he was running the point. I loved it. Look for your shot. He's got the talent. Stop passing up the ball. And one more thing, Zach LaVine, when you do come back, stop split damn double teams. Stop it. Pass the ball.
Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate it. What a great call. You know what? I agree with him. That did force those guys, those two, Io and Vooch, to step up. A great observation.
Well, he's echoing what Billy Donovan said, too. He said, you know, obviously you don't want to see guys out, injury and COVID. He said, but from a competitive standpoint, I like when stuff like this happens, because you find out what you're all about, where your medal is. You want to be able to walk off the court, know that you competed, and it's next man up. But like our caller just pointed out, you see different – you see guys taking on more responsibility and more creativity, and not maybe feeling, you know, like, okay, this is my time to shine, and I want to show the coach in the front office what I'm capable of. And I love that he picks but doesn't roll. It was like George Costanza Why can't it be an importer and exporter? And maybe just want to be an importer, not an exporter.
I do remember that episode.
Yeah.
You know, IO has really just shown a lot of heart and hunger. And even though he was kind of sitting back, you know, last night proved that, you know, I thought he was a steal at the draft. And I'm just so pleased
with this kid.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's all kinds of upside. And you're right. When push comes to shove and you've got the spotlight, you've got to make the most of it. And it looks like IO's been doing that more so than not.
Yeah, you know, here's a second-round kid who's already contributing, and we're both, you know, looking forward to see what the ceiling is, and we wouldn't want him to be involved in any trade because the hometown kid is flourishing.
All.
But it reminds me, when I was covering the Bulls 2005, 2010, in that era, a lot of times the Bulls didn't even want to make a second round pick because they didn't want to have to commit money to second round picks, right?
Right.
They would end up shelving guys in Europe and doing stuff like that because it was just added cost and very little benefit. It was really a one round draft in the NBA at the time. And really it, when you find someone in the second round, it's, you know, someone like this, it's rare to get that kind of a guy, you know, that's kind of an unpolished gem.
And for us to have a Chicago kid on the Bulls, I mean, it just makes it even sweeter. 312-332-3776. The Bulls have a trade deadline on February 10th, as does the NBA, obviously. Should they make a move? We'll keep talking about the Bulls up until break here on ESPN 1000. Again, you can get to Brian at Brian Hanley 534 on Twitter. Me, Xander Rocker, all one word, one R in the middle. We'll get back to talking about football. We've got a poll that we'll wrap up before we're out of here at noon on ESPN 1000. Is that the old dogs barking? Your feet hurting?
Apparently.
Wow, they're loud. 312-332-3776. They're playing the Grizzlies tomorrow, and that is an afternoon game tomorrow?
Martin Luther King Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I was looking at it like Monday afternoon. Yes. Martin Luther King Day, where things are a little bit different, and the Grizzlies are 30-15 on the year. And the Bulls will be taking.
Well, they just snapped their 11-game win streak on Friday night, so they were what you call red hot before that.
Oh, isn't that great? That it's like the Warriors; they'll be nice and angry.
Yeah, given the state of the Bulls,
the Warriors got spanked the night before they saw the Bulls, and they were
correct. Nice
and angry.
Yeah,
that's the worst kind of situation.
See, but it was a compliment to the Bulls; they were looking past the Bucks to get to the Bulls.
Yeah, in the meantime, they got really slapped. 312-332-3776. You know, getting back to football for a minute here, we've got a full slate of games today. We've got the Eagles and Bucks. That's a noon start, and I think you and I both agree the Bucks are going to take that one, right? Or were you Eagles? Were you taking the
points? No, don't do that to me. The Bucks won't stop here.
All right. All right, Cowboys 49ers. I know you have the Niners. I'm thinking the Cowboys are going to eke this one out. The one that I'm really paying attention to is tomorrow or tonight, Steelers and Chiefs. What do you have on something like that?
What intrigues you about the Ben,
you know,
Roethlisberger
going
to find a way to
Ben,
go out
yeah,
in glory?
Yeah, Ben, that is it, Ben. The guy who has turned up in a lot of different ways, you know, and a lot of different times, critical moments. Could be the last game of his career.
Are you day drinking again?
Yeah, I am. Do you want some?
No, well, yeah, sure. I'm Irish. Anytime's a good time. I can't make that case. Now, look, Kansas City's been erratic this season, no doubt, and that's not normally what the Chiefs do offensively, but they've had stops and starts. I can't make that case. I've seen a few Steelers games this year where they were Matt Nagy's offense struggling to get to 20 points, right?
It's an emotional pick for me.
Are you a Steelers fan from back
in the day? A little bit.
Steel
a little bit.
Curtain guy?
Yeah, I've got in-laws that are really Steelers fans. Yeah. And when
so
I was
you're
a
just,
kid,
you're just trying to get in good with the in-laws, or
I don't know if that's going to even work. But the point is, the story about Ben.
Was it Piermonte sandwiches?
The Piermonte brothers sandwiches. Yeah, haven't you ever had one?
Been there.
Oh my gosh!
When I was covering at the Sun Times, we'd make that stop at like 2 a.m, 3 a.m after a game.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I saw a unbelievable brawl in there, and it was all females. Apparently, someone thought some woman was making eyes at her guy, and next thing I know, we had just covered a hockey game, and it looked like a hockey fight because all of a sudden chairs were going over our table and tables were going over.
Impressive. And you didn't even have to pay for that privilege.
No. But the French fries on the sandwich was good, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Piermonte, you got to stop there. What is it? It's the meat, it's the French fries, and it's the slaw, right? Is that how it goes? Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
It was very good. And when you come drive, you go into Pittsburgh from the airport, you go through that tunnel, and all of a sudden the city just
opens up.
Unbelievable. You come out of this dark tunnel and this vista with rivers and the build. I mean, it's stunning, right? The first time you ever see that. It's like the first time I was in D.C. covering the Bears and the Redskins on the Ditka game where he said we might not win another game, and they didn't. But to see Washington, D.C. at night all lit up when I landed, it was the first time I'd been to D.C., and just going to the hotel in the cab, your head's looking at, there's the Capitol, there's the Lincoln Memorial, there's, Supreme Court building, the White House. It's stunning, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, road trips to catch football games, not a bad idea, especially when good sandwiches are involved. 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Xander. We'll come back, take your calls at 312-332-3776. Talking NFL Wild Card Weekend and talking Bears and the GM and head coach search here on ESPN 1000.
I would assume as a group you understand that, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens. We don't have a chance, so let's just go in and play and have fun.
Big Ben, number 7, your Pittsburgh Steelers, if you are a fan of that.
I see what he's doing there.
Is another one of those things that's kind of factored into why. And again, it's an emotional pick, but what he's been able to do over the years, coming to the end of his career, having this shot. It's hard. I'm not rooting against him, but he's setting those low expectations,
and he knows what he's doing. Inside that locker room, he's like, no one believes in us. It's just everyone in here is the only one who believes we have a chance, and we're going to shock the world. It's the old, the world hates us. And They're not number 14, actually. If the Raiders take a knee, they're number 15 in that final regular season game. He's doing the old, no one believes in us. We really shouldn't be here. Double digit underdogs.
Let's just go have fun. Let's just play.
And we'll go show up anyway and see what happens. But we got no shot. But inside, as soon as they lock the door or shut the door in that locker room, he's like, see, the whole world thinks we're a fraud, and let's go show them.
Yep.
On three.
Yep. Yep. And that is going to be definitely a must game to must watch game. Today, again, Eagles and Bucks at noon. Then your 3:30 game would be 49ers and Cowboys, and then Steelers Chiefs at 7:15. Full slate of wild card football.
Yeah, today it was tough last night because you had the Bulls, you had the Blackhawks.
It was tough. I couldn't even get to the Blackhawks, and they won.
Thank God they're taking advantage of the schedule. But four in a row, and the way things were going, I didn't know they'd have another win streak because the special teams aren't all that. But yeah, between the remote got a workout because every wild card game is a must watch.
I was going back and forth between the Bills and the Bulls game, and like I said, I couldn't even get to the Hawks.
Yeah. Hey, Tyler, have they hired Brian Daboll yet?
As of now, no.
There's no sounder, so there will be a sounder if that happens.
Yeah, he's probably about mid-interview right now, but I think they're probably in the third quarter of yesterday's game at this point. Yeah. Games are like 3 hours, so I'd imagine they're in like the third quarter right now.
Yeah, I mean, really,
Brian
after
would have hired him after the first sentence.
Yeah, I would have had the contract all typed up, and, you know, I wouldn't give him the blank check, but, you know, hey, Brian, Buffalo, cost of living in Buffalo, we know it's a little bit more here in Chicago. Here's a figure I'm thinking. How many zeros you want after that?
Wait, no. $15 an hour. It's the McKenzie.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, your head coach gets 20.
Okay. Well, that's nice. That's nice.
But here, Stephon Diggs told ESPN last January about Brian Daboll. I hate to keep giving him so much credit because I don't want anyone to steal him from me. He's a guy that knows what he's doing. He knows the flow of the game, things that Matt Nagy never knew, the flow of the game. Knows what to call and when to call it. We trust him. Whatever he calls, I'm running it. He always has our back. I ain't seen him miss yet. He knows offense to the core. This is Scott Pioli now. He comes from a family of coaching that's founded in discipline, detail, and the basics and fundamentals of the game. Brian was also in a lot of places where there was an emphasis put on accentuating the positive and limiting the negatives. He knows that their best football player is Josh Allen, and everything has to be centered around him and his strengths. But as I pointed out, I think he's become less Josh Allen-centric, and that's from Colin Kane's article in the Tribune today. So I get you want head coaching experience, and I would love head coaching experience, but of the previous head coaches on the Bears list, none of them wow me. And, you know, that's a concern.
Right. And, you know, the Bears aren't the only ones going to go after Daboll.
No, or Brian Flores.
Right. And how attractive is the Bears' job when the front office is this front office and this ownership? You know,
well, we don't know who the front office is right now. And the one thing the Bears give
the ownership then. One thing the
Bears give you is plenty of time. Just, you know, see Ryan Pace, what, 7 seasons of floundering and making bad decisions and horrible decisions and poor choices. And, you know, there's Mike Glennon at $18 million, and here's
the gift of time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You don't, it's not 2 years and, oh boy, we, you know, screwed this one up. See you later. Let's try it again. So, and the encouraging thing, Mark, is that everything I've read in the past week from people around the league and different stories, that the Bears' job is, whether GM or coach, is still very attractive. As much as we sit there and watch them make,
sometimes, you know, in what we're doing and all the fans and what we're seeing, it's like, God, would I want to work there?
Exactly. I mean, because we're so close to it, be like, how could I work for the McCaskies?
Right.
Who said, boy,
it doesn't sound fun.
I was upset that Matt Nagy came and asked me about the quarterback position or whatever. I mean, you're the owner. You know, it's just, I don't know if he wanted to make you feel included, even though he didn't care what you thought.
Right.
But George did say, well, you know, the head coach makes those
decisions. I'm uncomfortable with this conversation. Yeah,
exactly.
312-332-3776. Steve in Lombard wants to jump in here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I just got a quick comment. As a lifelong Atlanta Falcon fan, and don't ask me why, I grew up in Central Illinois, but for some odd reason,
it happens.
I've dealt with the Atlanta Falcon conundrum forever, and I've got my 15-year-old son here with me who has lived and breathed the dreaded
Super Bowl. The sins of the father are now on the son?
So the comparison to Matt Ryan with Derek Carr, I mean, Matt Ryan, yes, he won the MVP, but that guy has done nothing but fail. And I think with the Matt Ryan that you get is what you get in the second half of the Super Bowl. Very comparable to Derek Carr and what we saw in the last, you know, but in the fourth quarter of yesterday's game. So, you know, love Matt Ryan, has done some very good things, but, you know, putting Matt Ryan on a pedestal, yes, he won the MVP, but all they've done is surround him with good players. They keep going out and they keep drafting, you know, quality wide receivers and supporting him offensively. Their defense is a whole other conversation, but the whole Matt Ryan comparison, you know, respectfully disagree. As
so
a
Dan
follower
Quinn,
for the last 40 years.
Would Dan Quinn be on your list or not?
Dan Quinn, absolutely. I like Dan Quinn. I think losing Shanahan was a huge you know, straw that broke the camel's back. Love Shanahan. But, you know, Quinn, absolutely, I would have kept him. I think defensive mindedness for the Falcons, I know we're getting off topic and speaking about the Falcons in general, but
I'm talking about the Bears.
Dan Quinn and the Falcons. Their defense is just, they just have never addressed the defense. The one year that they did have a decent defense, they did go to the Super Bowl. But then Matt Ryan just ultimately showed us who Matt Ryan is, I think, unfortunately, in the second half of that.
Steve, how about Quinn for the Bears? How would you view that?
Yeah, absolutely. And living here in Lombard, you know, I follow the Bears. He would be on the top of my list. Love the guy.
What do you love about
him? Defensive minded. They could use some offensive help, and they need an offensive mind, obviously, with Justin Fields. But, you know, I love Dan Quinn. I think he's a great candidate. If I were the Bears, I'd be all over him.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm going offensive minded.
Yeah, you know what, Brian, you have a great point. I mean, Fields is our shiny object. We need to bring him along. We need to have the right person bring him along. And yes, hiring a defensive coordinator as a head coach, if you can trust, you know, the judgment of that person to get the right OC in to help develop, but would it be a quicker route just to have an offensive minded head coach?
Look, and we don't.
It didn't work with Nagy, obviously.
Well, no, and we still don't know if Justin Fields isn't the real deal. And I know, you know, guys like Mike North, my buddy, don't believe that he is.
Oh, I know. And you know Mike, and I have not looked at his Twitter feed, but since this article came out about how Nagy ghosted Trubisky and everything, you know Mike was all over that, I'm sure.
Well, and I was excited to see Trubisky taking a knee yesterday. Whoop-de-doo. But here's the thing.
He's good at that.
If Justin Fields is not the real deal, then this organization is in deeper trouble than
10 years backwards.
Exactly. Yeah. So you better get the most out of him, and that means you better get the best offensive-minded head coach. Look, I think Sean Desai has got a good handle on this defense, and the defense roster needs a lot of improvement and a lot of help. And that, again, the heavy lifting from the GM, I mean – When they really see what they have to work with here in lack of draft prospects or draft choices, rather, and in an aging defense and salary cap issues, the GM job is really going to intimidate some people that are going to be like, how can I be successful trying to get out of this hole that Ryan Pace left me?
Yeah.
But if Justin Fields isn't the guy, ooh, heaven help all of us Bears fans.
Yes, absolutely. 312-333-3323776. And you got a great point there. When the job of the GM or coach is attractive, as you say, across the league, then there's that. There's a whole lot of work to do. And then there's the McCaskey ownership that must be legendary within the NFL. So there may be some things working against us, but Fields has got to be the guy, because that would really set us back a long, long time. 312-332-3776. Let's take a break here, Brian. Come back. We'll mention a couple of things that the Cubs and White Sox did briefly, and this is aside from the MLB lockout. It's international signings. We'll mention that. We'll get back into the Bulls if you want to, or we'll keep talking football up until noon here on ESPN 1000. Xander and Hanley up until noon here, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, crystal clear HD, also on the app at ESPN 1000. So, Brian, we have this poll that we're going to wrap up before noon. After hearing that Matt Nagy no-showed Mitch Trubisky at a meeting, can Nagy now be considered the worst leader of men in Bears that the Bears have had in recent history? Yes or no? And I know that there are other names that people are mentioning, and we will definitely wrap that up before noon. We've got John in Rockford that wants to talk about Ryan Pace. Hey, John, welcome to ESPN 1000.
Yeah, I thought George did a great job when he was ticket manager, but by not making a decision on Ryan Pace earlier, they could have gotten rid of him in November and had a whole month to interview a GM.
That was my point, yep.
Yeah, and I came away from that press conference feeling less confident than ever that they'll get it right. So,
yeah, you and 1,000, 10,000, we all, you think you've seen the worst of those things, and then they have another one.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks, John. You know, he's right. That press conference, we went from very, very, the mood was very high to the press conference where it was like, oh, just the shoulders, my shoulders just.
Because it's just a vivid reminder of, okay,
who owns this team?
The house cleaning is the easy part, and it should have been done last year, after last season, but it wasn't.
What was that they said? Ryan is our guy?
our football guy.
Our football
Ryan Mehta, our football guy.
Our football
and Ted,
guys.
And Ted's great quote. Do we get the quarterback exactly right? Do we win? No. Do we win enough games? No. Other than that.
Other than that. Yeah.
How'd you like to play, Mrs. Lincoln? Yeah, it's, you know, I'll say this about George, and I've said it before. The McCaskies are very nice people, and you would never know that they're billionaires the way they live.
Hey, George drove right by me in a Honda Accord.
Yeah, I'm saying. Right, and they do
they're
not.
They're great cars, but he can do better.
They do not flaunt their wealth. They're just really down-to-earth people. That doesn't make you a great steward of a football
organization. Well, just like Matt was a great guy. It's being great people. It is so awesome. But great guys and girls lose their jobs all the time for non-performance.
And Rick Morrissey wrote it. George doesn't know what he doesn't know. And he just refuses to admit. He keeps saying time and again, well before this year, that he believes the McCaskies are the best family to direct and continue to steer the Bears into oblivion. He didn't say that. I finished that thought.
A little editorial there.
Yeah, because and you ask him why. Well, just because. Okay, I get that they love the team. I get it's a family business, and they don't make. It's not like they made their money in oil or steel, and then decided to buy a football team. They inherited the football team, so they don't have anything else to lean on.
Right, that they would have learned by now. There could have been something to learn.
You would think
beyond being
by
a
osmosis,
fan. I'm a fan
just,
too.
Yeah, you would think, okay, if you don't know football, you could at least identify. Tom Ricketts knew enough to go get Theo Epstein or at least talk to him.
Yes,
right?
Yes. What you don't know, you got to hire the smartest people around you to make you smarter.
Didn't need to get a consultant to point him in towards Boston and go meet him in New York or whatever. I mean, if you're paying attention, you should be able to at least get a head start or at least know where to look to find a guy who's going to help you out of this awful, awful situation you find yourself in time and again, season after season.
312-332-3776. It is another round of wild card games today. Eagles and Bucks at noon. 49ers and Cowboys, that's a 3:30 start. And John in Barrington wants to talk about that game. Hey, John, you're with Xander and Hanley here on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. I was just thinking about the Dallas-San Francisco situation and that, Dallas had three weak sisters to play in their division while San Francisco had to face two of the top teams in the conference. I'm just wondering, do you guys know if there's a place where you can recalculate the DVOA or other stats like that with a subset of games like just playoff teams or something like that? Because I think Dallas is going to have a much different DVOA against playoff teams than they do against the whole league.
Which is one of the reasons I'm picking the Niners today. I would go start at something like 538.com, but you can find, Google NFL weighted schedules, stuff like that, and you'll find different sites will have, what you're looking for in terms of quality of opponents and everything else. I think the 49ers, again, have had their issues, and I know there are times Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't instill the most confidence for 49ers fans. But I think our caller with the Atlanta Falcons fan, said Kyle Shanahan. I still believe he's the real deal, and he's going to find a way to win this game against the Cowboys. So
I'm the idiot that's picking the Cowboys, by the way. I'm raising my hand.
And the Steelers.
Yeah, and okay. Yeah.
Okay, you put any money behind it? That's what I'm
No, why would I do that?
Well, I don't know.
I know they're not good picks.
Well, hey, put it on the money line and parlay them, and you might,
Yeah, maybe some will happen. Maybe I will.
Are you saying we should fade you?
I'm in no trade
clause. Right now as we speak.
I have a no trade clause. Yeah. Thanks, John. John from Barrington there on ESPN 1000. Yeah, so it will be a full slate of games today. The Buccaneers over the Eagles. I don't know how people can, on the money line especially, take the Eagles over the Bucks. But I thought I heard out somebody on ESPN National on the way in taking the Eagles. Does that make sense to you at all? I don't think it does, does it?
No, but, again, I had the Raiders yesterday. So but I had the over in the Buffalo game. I gave Jesse the over in that one. So I was 500 yesterday.
The 49ers-Cowboys is the third leg, right?
Well, it's the second leg because I had the two-team parlay, the over in the Buffalo game and the Niners on the money line. So, So, yeah, it's Jesse, he had a couple upset picks, but we differed on pretty much every game. But neither one of us could make a case for the Eagles, I don't believe.
Yeah, I certainly can't either. We've got Dan in Schaumburg wants to jump on talking about Coach Nagy and the Trubisky thing that came out in the Athletic article a couple days ago. Hey, Dan, welcome to ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yep.
So after reading like the Fishbane report and everything between Nagy and Mitch, I honestly didn't think I can be any more disappointed in this organization. The fact that they had to know the treatment, the relationship between Nagy and Mitch, and them feeling comfortable handing the reins over to Nagy to develop Fields. But honestly, what's more disappointing is Ryan Pace not doing something, because he's the football guy in that room, right?
Allegedly.
Like, Ted's not. Yeah, so allegedly, Ted, George, they're not clearly, they're there for other reasons, but Ryan's a football guy, and the fact that they felt comfortable handing like the development of Fields over to Nagy, hearing that he's ghosting Mitch for a one-on-one meeting to talk about the offense, calling him out in front of the players, which I think it's unsaid rule. You don't call out your starting quarterback in front of everybody in the room. You know, you want to build confidence in this kid. And I allude back to the one press conference that Nagy had when it was an interception that Fields threw to Allen Robinson. I don't know if you guys remember. And Fields said in his headset that somebody was telling him there was 12 men on the field. He thought it was a free play.
Right.
And instead of Nagy sticking up for his quarterback, he completely sidestepped that, did anything but protect his quarterback, because you had a coach who knew his job was threatened. You had a rookie quarterback. So how is that good for the development of Fields if you have a coach who knows he's on thin ice and more worried about his job than the development of the future of this organization?
Well, great point, Dan. And yeah, that article, thanks for the call. That article really bothered me in that, you know, Brian, I don't know if you have ever managed a group of people or whatever, but in my experience in this business, I've managed some radio stations, and you definitely, first time you have that job, you might overmanage, and you just might do things that later on you learn, you know what, that wasn't really the right way to do it. And some of the things that we read in that article seems like first time manager mistakes.
Yeah, well, look,
and he was.
Well, not only that, he should have been launched with Ryan Pace last year after the end of last season.
Yep.
So you allowed them to go, and I was very excited that they moved up and paid a hefty price to move up and get Justin Fields. I felt like Matt Nagy was allowed to make that draft pick, right, and talk everyone into it, because Ryan Pace had swung and missed on so many quarterbacks, veteran and other, and Mitch Trubisky. But the point of it is, you know, Mitch Trubisky in that story said that he kept telling guys at practice, you know, these things aren't working, kind of like Nick Foles was saying.
Yeah,
you know,
on the sideline, very famous.
And guess what? That's why he had to fire himself from play calling, because it was not working.
Right.
You know, you never heard what you heard from Stephon Diggs talking about Brian Daboll, about knowing the flow of the game, being in the flow of the game, knowing what to call. It was one of the most obvious critiques of Matt Nagy, or criticisms, was he just randomly called plays. He did not have a flow. He did not have a feel for the game.
Not at all.
It was, you know, the Denny's menu holding up, and let's try the scrambled eggs with the sausage and bacon and try this one.
Moon's over my hammy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but there was no sense of he was thinking three plays ahead. How many times did you have a timeout and then a delay game after a timeout or whatever?
Right.
You know?
It was messy. It was incredibly messy.
In hindsight,
how did we get so fooled? Now we moved on.
How did Ryan Pace get so fooled?
Right. That's what I'm saying. How did we, being Ryan Pace, McCaskey's, how did they get so fooled?
Well, that's it.
And then to have them sit with them for another year and have to watch all of this happen.
I tweeted this out earlier in the week when I saw Jeff Ireland's name on it. Former ball boy for the Bears. Grandfather was a scouting legend for the Bears. I mean, you know, he jumps up about five rungs on the ladder.
I saw that, and I was like,
okay, George will give him the black and white picture tour in Hallis Hall and tell him, do you remember Dick Butkus there? Look at there. You know, only do that if Sean Payton's coming with him. All right? I mean, you know, I know George poo-pooed the idea that whoever he hires as GM and or coach has to have Bears connections. But you know, in his heart of hearts, he wants those connections. He wants that, you know, that love of the organization.
Because it's easy.
Yeah, well, because it makes the McCaskies, you know, feel their heart, you know, gets all flutter over stuff like that.
Right. It's an easy, comfortable feeling.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. We will wrap things up. We'll wrap up the poll, take more of your calls when we get back, and we'll mention those moves on the north side and south side for people starving for baseball action. There ain't much, but we've got a few things to talk about here on ESPN 1000. ESPN 1000, Brian Hanley, Mark Zander for just a few more minutes here. As we want to bring up something for people who are starving for baseball action, usually at this time, you know, we're getting excited for spring training or starting to get excited. But the lockout is holding tight. But we have a couple of international signings, Brian. We've got the highly anticipated on the south side, as we are your home for the Chicago White Sox. The highly anticipated signing of Oscar Colas is becoming a reality. He can play all three outfield positions, will likely end up in one of the corners because of his strong arm. He is an international signing. He's a young guy. He has been compared. Let's see here. We have another one. Hernandez. Did Hernandez sign with the Cubs? I believe.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. We've got, okay. I'm skipping around here. Cubs are signing a player, Alexis Hernandez. He is joining his brother in the Cubs organization. 17-year-old shortstop from the Dominican Republic, a consensus top 50 prospect in this year's class, according to multiple reports. This is according to Tim Stebbins. Hernandez's brother, Christian Hernandez, is a top Cubs prospect. So they've got a couple brothers in the system. As for the White Sox, I think this article is jumping around, but maybe they're, looks like they're comparing Hernandez on the north side to a young Juan Soto. So a couple things happening. In baseball,
Carlos Correa is going to be signed by the Cubs. I see Russell Dorsey in the Sun-Times in his farewell, I believe, story for the Sun-Times is going to Bally Sports. But still talk that the Cubs, once this lockout ends, and I don't think it's anytime soon.
No, it's not going to be.
Is, you know, the Trevor Story or Carlos Correa is going to be patrolling shortstop for the Cubs.
Well, I love the idea of Carlos on the north side.
Yeah.
Will they, you know, are they going to pony up that money?
People keep speculating that they are, but I mean, the fact that Houston didn't pony up the money tells you, you know, I'm all about it, and they need help, and they need rotation help, certainly. You know, these 17-year-old guys, it's interesting, and you can follow them along, but I mean, can you tell me what the four or five guys they got from San Diego? You know, they're all 16 and 17 year old guys too, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the only baseball action we have right now, and
I know, but yeah, I mean, it's so far away.
It is.
And none of those guys were even top 20 or top 10 in the San Diego organization. So
right,
how excited!
Right.
You know, you got quantity, but did you get quality? Right.
Well, over time, we'll see. You know, this lockout. I've heard various things as far as expected time, where they're going to get, you know, things going to start on time. People are calling for late May. You know, it's really unfortunate that they just do not, they're not reading the room, both sides, right? We're in a pandemic. We can't afford, they cannot afford to do this to baseball fans.
Well, I love the fact that they're, you know, sending out invoices for season tickets this month anyway. I mean,
exactly. They're tone deaf.
Yeah, well,
totally, you know, tone deaf, it seems. All right, wrapping up the poll that we have on ESPN 1000 on Twitter. After hearing that Matt Nagy no-showed Mitch Trubisky at a meeting, can Nagy now be considered the worst leader of men the Bears have had in recent history? We've got Jake behind the glass today. He's going to wrap up the poll for us here on ESPN 1000. Jake, what are they saying on this one?
Yeah, the fans have spoken. We have 60.6% say yes, 39.4 say no.
Okay, so that's kind of close. And I know the 39 point whatever percent is probably all about Trestman, right, Brian?
Sure it is. But here, as we sit here today, here's what I know. I know that Ryan Pace will never be a GM in this league again. I know Matt Nagy will never be a head coach in this league again.
Right.
And I know that Mitch Trubisky will never be signed as an or traded to or as a number one starter. He might be starting games as an injury or whatever.
You don't think he's going to Pittsburgh?
No, not as a starter. I mean, that he is who he is, whether he's disrespected by Matt Nagy or not. He is not a number one quarterback right. in the NFL. I saw enough of that to know he's not that guy. So he'll stick around the league and he'll be holding clipboards for a long time and he'll make a nice living doing it. But those three guys will never see the jobs they thought they once right. held. They'll never see them again.
It's almost like the Bears have provided a public service for the rest of the NFL and
yes.
suss these people out so everybody knows
put them
they're
on
not
the pay
what
no
they
mind
were.
List. Right.
right. Right, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You say that they should be making a call by Wednesday. That's your prediction?
Yeah.
And many other teams, too. Everything's, yeah, right, yeah. right. And hopefully then they can get the GM right and everybody can be in sync.
And that'll take them 5 years to clean this whole thing up.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, it's going to be trying for us Bears fans, but I guess the right step was taken. In the meantime, this past Monday. All right, we've got a full round of football games today. Eagles, Buccaneers at noon. We've got 49ers, Cowboys at 3:30. Wild card action, Steelers and Chiefs tonight. It is Xander and Hanley. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning.
I gotta put money down on the Steelers.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Of course you're not. I'm not putting my money down. I'll put your money down on the Steelers. But
no,
otherwise, it's an emotional pick for me. Yeah. We'll see if Ben can get it done. This is ESPN 1000. Thank you for joining us today on the program. And I believe you and I are going to see each other again next week here, Brian, on ESPN 1000. All right. We'll see you then. Enjoy all the football today. It's ESPN 1000.
ESPN Radio.
From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is ESPN 1000. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. A Good Karma Brands Radio.